Let's pray together. Lord God, we're told that we can boldly approach, and yet we find ourselves as those who are in awe of you. So help us by your Spirit to see you clearly, to know that we are welcomed by you, and to know that you call us to live for you all our days. Amen. Well, I don't know whether you spent some of the time during the various lockdowns of the past 12 months at digging out a jigsaw and trying to find all the pieces and put them together and see the picture that appeared. My mother has great patience when it comes to working on a jigsaw puzzle, and it's not been uncommon for my brother or for me to buy her a puzzle that, to put it mildly, is challenging, sometimes even without the picture that tells you what it's meant to look like when you get to the end. The picture, doesn't it? It forms, if you do it in a sort of logical way, around the edges first, the corners, and then little clumps of detail, something that really seems to fit together, and then the wonder of the completed whole. The writers of the Hebrews, we aren't quite sure who he or she was, has been building up a picture of Christ, and like the image of a jigsaw, the whole becomes clearer and clearer as we work our way through. The writer is seeking to encourage the readers and hearers of the letter in their faith. They are focused forwards in a journey of faith and will eventually end up at the close of this series with that great list of those who have gone before us in the faith in chapter 11. Now, our passage today very nearly completes the jigsaw picture of Jesus that the writer has been putting together. Within the main picture that we see this morning, a picture of Christ as priest. There have been one or two clues already about this picture. We first hear about Christ's priesthood back in chapter 2, verse 17. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because of his identity as God's son that we've already looked at in this series, we know that Jesus is better, Jesus is great, and he brings his greatness to the role of high priest. Now, the high priest in Israel's history was a very significant man, someone who could represent God to the people and also who could stand in the presence of God for the people. Access to the very heart of the temple, of the worshipping life of God's people, the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the tabernacle and later the temple, was only open just once a year, even for this great high priest. And in case the priest died while he was inside, they tied a rope around his leg so that he could be brought out, as access was restricted and no one could go in until the following year. The role of priest as mediator was very important for the worship of Israel, and the whole sacrificial system needed priests to function. Jesus is a far superior high priest to all that have gone before. Look down at verse 14. A great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus' priesthood surpasses everything that has gone before. They are surpassed, superseded, this great high priest. Jesus is a great priest over the house of God. Chapter 10, verse 21, he is a great shepherd of the sheep, 13:20. There is to be no confusion. Jesus is not simply just another priest who's taking his turn on the rota. Jesus is so amazingly, awesomely different, better. He has gone through the heavens. This great high priest is always in the presence of God. The high priest of the Old Testament, once a year into the Holy of Holies, Jesus through the heavens in God's presence, day after day. After his resurrection appearances, Jesus ascends to the Father's right hand. Christ is constantly able to intercede for us. We're then shown more of the high priest's qualifications or attributes. Jesus, our great high priest, that he understands our weaknesses, that he is chosen by God, that he has already shown his priestly work on earth, and that he stands as a priest forever. You may have heard about or seen the TV program Undercover Boss, where the managing director or the owner of a company takes a lowly position, gets to know some staff, gets to know the issues that they face. But it's not for very long, is it? They get to reveal who they really are. They get to make a difference in those people's lives and make themselves and their companies look quite good on TV. The writer to the Hebrews explains that this great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, understands the reality of life, the joys and the sorrows. For as Christ lived on earth, he was tempted by the devil. He was tempted with hunger, tempted to grab power, tempted to turn away from God. In his everyday life, he wept at the tomb of a friend. He was betrayed by a friend. He was mocked and shamed as he died. The great high priest is not distant. He has lived and understands our concerns, our worries, our hurts, and our tears. Yet even in the face of that reality, that mess of real life, we're told that he did not sin, that he lived a perfect life, life how it was meant to be lived. As Rowan Williams has said, it means that he understands exactly what we are and what we suffer and why we struggle. But he is never overwhelmed because there is no obstacle in him to the action of God at every moment. What he's doing is what God's doing. What he's doing is what God's doing. And so we're challenged and encouraged that we do not need to approach timidly. This is not the image of the unworthy, ordinary Israelite coming before the temple priests and thinking, you are so much better than me. Yes, Christ is better. But we're told that we can come boldly. We can approach, confidently come. We can experience welcome and acceptance. We see in verse 16, let us approach the throne of grace. The writer explains back in chapter 5, verse 5, that God has chosen Jesus and that there are some fundamental differences between Jesus and the other high priests here in this chapter 5. In verse 3, we're shown that normally the priest needs to offer a sacrifice for his own sin. Yet Jesus does not. Rather than making an offering for his own sin and then for the sins of the people, Jesus is the offering made once for all. Hebrews 7:27 tells us, unlike the other high priests, he did not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. The never-ending slaughter of the Old Testament sacrificial system is no longer needed. It's been completely abolished. It's been accomplished by the one offering of the great high priest. It has been pointing forward to Jesus And as Jesus dies and rises, his offering is given, is shared. And we see that our great high priest is a priest forever, chapter 5, verse 10, in the order of Melchizedek. Now, I'll be honest with you, this is not the most straightforward of concepts in the letter to the Hebrews. There are at least four different viewpoints on this subject, but we're just going to spend a few minutes today thinking about it. If you've got your Bible open, you might like to cast your eye across to chapter 7. We're not going to look at this chapter in its entirety in our series. But it records words, events from the life of Melchizedek, the priest. Do you remember back to the Old Testament, to Abraham and the three visitors in Genesis chapter 18? Famously depicted in Rublev's icon of the hospitality of Abraham, sometimes called the three visitors, sometimes called the Trinity. And one of those visitors was Melchizedek. See if the description we have from Genesis helps us identify this priest. He was priest of God Most High, King of righteousness, King of peace, without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days, without end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. The description does not stop there. The writers of the Hebrews wants us to be clear that this is someone really, really special. And so we have some technical details about how there's an interaction between Abraham and this character, Melchizedek. The tabernacle and the temple priests of the Old Testament came as descendants of Abraham through the tribe of Levi. And yet Melchizedek is called a priest about 500 years before that priesthood begins. And he receives a tenth, a tithe, an offering from Abraham and blesses him. The lesser person is blessed by the greater. So this priest is greater than the whole source of the line of Levitical priests. And the writer to the Hebrews looks backwards to this incident and sees Jesus in some sense. One who is greater than all the priests in the Old Testament, who rules a kingdom of righteousness and peace. As I said, there are several views on exactly who Melchizedek is. A foreign priest king, a type of Christ, an angel messenger, an appearance by the pre-incarnate Christ himself. There's something to talk about over lunch. For the purposes of our discussion, that doesn't alter the message that the writer is trying to get across. That is that this description of someone who is a priest who can stand in God's presence eternally, and Christ is like him. That means that we don't need to look for another messenger, another Messiah, another priest. We have no need of anyone else to stand between us and God. I wonder if all this talk in the past few weeks of angels, of Moses and the law, of priests, sounds quite distant from what you face tomorrow morning. We do not need to feel separated by time or cultural context from our great high priest, as by his Spirit, he breaks into our lives and our situations. He is continually interceding for us and lifts us to the very throne room of God. We can have confidence. We can approach. We can gather to worship God. We can be in living relationship with him without the need of anyone else. We have direct access. Perhaps you feel that you need someone to stand in the gap between you and God. Perhaps you feel that that gap is just so wide. But as we trust in Jesus, he stands in the gap for us. And his Spirit assures us of his call on our lives to live out that faith that makes a difference every day. You can, in Christ, have direct access. You don't need a vicar. You don't need a home group leader. You don't need your parent. You don't need to be in a special place, a building. We are invited day after day to join in with the life and worship of heaven. And as we see more clearly a picture of who Jesus is, that should change how we live, how we think, how we act, as we seek to align our lives with Jesus, who is better and greater. May we lift our eyes. May we be those who invite others to know our great high priest, who sympathizes, who understands, and who lifts us, that we might know God's blessing and God's peace and God's righteousness as we join in with the worship of heaven. Let's pray. Lord God, we admit that sometimes we feel far from you. Either because of the way in which we have lived and thought and spoken, just because of the circumstances of our lives. We thank you that in Christ, our great high priest, we have someone who intercedes for us, not once a year, not occasionally, but offers access to us day by day as we trust in his death and resurrection to bring us life. May we know that we are welcomed in, that we are commanded to come in boldly, and as we enter into that life of prayer and worship, we are commissioned to be God's representatives in our workplaces, at the school gate, in classrooms, with our neighbors and with our families, that more and more people would be welcomed in to boldly claim the crown. Amen.